that, pray? We haven't got any more bloody tortoises, that's what we haven't got.
Tepic carefully poked his head over the top of the dune. He saw a large cleared area surrounded by complicated ranks of markers and flags. There were one or two buildings in it, mostly consisting of cages, and several other intricate constructions he could not recognise. In the middle of it all were two men, one small, fat and florid, the other tall and willowy, with an indefinable air of authority. They were wearing sheets. Clustered around them and not wearing very much at all were a group of slaves. One of them was holding a bow. Several of them were holding tortoises on sticks. They looked a bit pathetic, like tortoise lollies.
"Anyway, it's cruel," said the tall man. "Poor little things. They look so sad with their little legs waggling."
"It's logically impossible for the arrow to hit them," the fat man threw up his hands. "It shouldn't do it. You must be giving me the wrong type of tortoise," he added accusingly. "We ought to try again with faster tortoises."
"Or slower arrows?"
"Possibly, possibly."
Tepic was aware of a faint scuffling by his chin. There was a small tortoise scurrying past him. It had several ricochet marks on its shell.
"We'll have one last try," said the fat man. He turned to the slaves. "You lot, go and find that tortoise."
The little reptile gave Tepic a look of mingled pleading and hope. He stared at it and then lifted it up carefully and tucked it behind a rock. He slid back down the dune to Petrarchy.
"There's something really weird going on over there," he said. "They're shooting tortoises."
"Why?"
"Search me. They seem to think the tortoise ought to be able to run away."
"What, from an arrow?"
"Like I said, it's really weird. You stay here. I'll whistle if it's safe to follow me."
"What will you do if it isn't safe?"
Scream.
He climbed the dune again, and after brushing as much sand as possible off his clothing, stood up and waved his cap at the little crowd. An arrow took it out of his hands.
"Oops," said the fat man. "Sorry."
He scurried across the trampled sand to where Tepic was standing and staring at his stinging fingers.
"Just had it in my hand," he panted. "Many apologies. Didn't realise it was loaded. Whatever will you think of me?"
Tepic took a deep breath.
"Zeno's the name," gasped the fat man before he could speak. "Are you hurt? We did put up warning signs, I'm sure. Did you come in over the desert? You must be thirsty. Would you like a drink? Who are you? You haven't seen a tortoise up there, have you? Damned fast things go like greased thunderbolts. There's no stopping the little buggers."
Tepic deflated again.
"Tortoises," he said. "Are we talking about those, you know, stones on legs?"
"That's right, that's right," said Zeno. "Take your eyes off them for a second and vazoom."
"Vazoom," said Tepic.
He knew about tortoises. There were tortoises in the Old Kingdom. They could be called a lot of things. Vegetarians, patient, thoughtful, even extremely diligent and persistent sex maniacs. But never, up until now, fast. Fast was a word particularly associated with tortoises because they were not it.
"Are you sure?" he said. "Fastest animal on the face of the disk, you common tortoise," said Zeno.
But he had the grace to look shifty.
"Logically, that is," he added.
To everyone without such a logical frame of reference, the fastest animal on the disk is the extremely neurotic, ambiguous Puzuma, which moves so fast that it can actually achieve near light speed in the disk's magical field. This means that if you can see a Puzuma, it isn't there. The fastest insect is the .303 bookworm. It evolved in magical libraries, where it is necessary to eat extremely quickly to avoid being affected by the thaumic radiations. An adult .303 bookworm can eat through a shelf of books so fast that it ricochets off the wall. Most male Puzumas die young of acute ankle failure caused by running very fast after females which aren't there, and of course achieving suicidal mass in accordance with relativistic theory. The rest of them die of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, since it is impossible for them to know who they are and where they are at the same time, and the seesawing loss of concentration this engenders means that the Puzuma only achieves a sense of identity when it is at rest, usually about 50 feet into the rubble of what remains of the mountain it just ran into at near light speed. The Puzuma is rumoured to be about the size of a leopard with a rather unique black and white check coat. although those specimens discovered by the disc's sages and philosophers have inclined them to declare that in its natural state the Pazuma is flat